This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, and I am Glenda Geek, coming to you from the studios back in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson from Saugerties, New York, and you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for August 4th, episode 1227, brought to you today by S Equestrian and Voltaire Saddles. Good morning, Horse World!
Oh my God, yeah. It's Tuesday.
It's top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. Hello, Em.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be back.
I don't know why I call you Em. I've just called you that since we met, I think.
I know. It's good. It's a nickname. I like it.
I know.
Emily's too long.
I guess Emily, too many letters. Five's just too much for me. I can't handle five. Hey, I got to tell you something, Emily. We were at the podcast. I was at the podcasting convention, the largest one in the world, actually, over the weekend in Texas. And I had a lot of people ask me, because we've been doing this for so long, I've had a lot of people ask me what's my favorite part of podcasting. And I tell them, that's easy. It's all the friends we've made. I've made so many different friends between the hosts and the listeners and the guests we have on and the sponsors. We've just all become friends. We really are combining the horse world and uniting the horse world, like our mission statement says. And you're one of our best ones that we've met. So thank you, Emily.
Flesh. You guys are pretty sweet, too. It's been fun. I thought that when you were down there. I was like, man, I mean, well, first of all the pictures are like, Glenn holding question and answer session. Glenn doing this. You know, I was like, damn, Glenn's really super important down there. But, you know, when you look at, okay, our jumping show, we've got decent listenership and all of this. But you guys have all of these other shows. I mean, it's pretty epic. It's been going on for a while. And, people obviously know about it. The word has spread.
The word has spread outside the horse world, which is
right?
A switch.
I mean, which is so funny.
That never happens. We don't get any love outside the horse world.
Yeah, people don't even know we exist. But no, I mean, for sure, it commands respect. So many shows, so many episodes, so many guests.
Well, now I got to ask you, we've been doing what we're going to do all week on all the different shows, and this is by listener request, is kind of the origin story of how we started. And I did yesterday with Jamie, I did the origin story of the Horse Radio Network, and then Horses in the Morning with Jamie. I can't remember how you and I met. So I want to do our kind of origin story of how we met and how we ended up doing a jumping show on Horses in the Morning. But I can't remember how we met. It seems
so
like
funny.
I have known you for 10 years and I haven't.
I know. Well, you know, and we do, I mean, we get to see each other quite a bit during the winter. You're in Ocala, we're in Wellington, and, you know, go back and forth. I've got vendors up there and whatnot. But yeah, people do regularly ask me, so I don't forget. They're like, why are you doing this? How did this happen? Aren't you just supposed to be riding around in circles and making shirts? It was pretty simple before. But yeah, we were up at the trade show, ADA, January, freezing cold for us Floridians.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it was quite a few years ago. Yeah, okay. So then we did the interview about the clothing line, and then you guys had an opening in one of your existing shows for a Wellington report.
Oh, that's right.
So I think it was a whole season. I ended up calling in and doing the news from Wellington. We talked about how many cars were left over at Players.
We mostly talked about the parties, actually.
Which was cool, right? I mean, you got to hear about the parties. It's important. So we got a nice season of that. And then you guys broke the news that you wanted me to do a jumping show.
You know, one of the questions I got a lot, too, over the weekend for people that were looking at starting networks, which there really wasn't a lot of talk about this weekend. So those of us that had networks got a lot of questions. And one of the things was, how do you find good hosts? And I know exactly is I have everybody on trade secret now. I have everybody on as a guest first and don't tell them that I want them to be a host. And then we see how they are as a guest. It's kind of their, it's kind of an audition they don't know about.
Yeah.
And then you, when I remember, I said this to you right after. I said, right after you did that, now it's coming back to me. Right after you did that interview at Ada, I said to Jennifer, and she can vouch for this, we need to get her on somehow because she's
so
really
funny.
Good. And I can
so
tell
funny.
In 2 minutes whether somebody would be a good guest or not. And you, didn't I say that, Jennifer? I said,
yes, you did.
I said, she's really good. We need to get her on. And I'm so glad we made that work out over the last
me too.
Long time now.
A long time, and it was totally out of the blue. I mean, like, as a kid, like, I never left voicemails for people. I'm not people know I'm not out at the horse show talking to people all the time. I like do my thing, you know, whatever. It's not my gig, but this has been so much fun, and getting all the guests together. Yeah, I agree with you. That's the coolest part, because you get so much more information. You build these relationships, and it's great for business, for other people to get exposure out there, and it ends up being more long-term thing. I mean, I end up talking to a lot of my guests and new products and things like this continually afterwards. You know, they circle back, hey, this is what's new, or this is what's going on. It's awesome. It's been really fulfilling.
Well, great. We're glad to have you on board. And there's the origin story of the jumping episode on Horses in the Morning and how Emily came to be.
I won't hold it against you that you forgot. Seriously, you need to redeem yourself. I'm waiting.
I was honest. One of the other things I said
true.
Is always okay, be yourself and be honest. Well, there you go. I'm
That's
honest.
That's true.
With
okay.
Myself.
I take it. Honesty overall, for sure. Okay.
And we were just talking about losing friends before the show. And here we go. I'm losing another one.
Oh, God. No. Forgiven. But it's so funny. It has been a while, though. And it's been a lot of episodes.
A lot of guests. It's been a lot of fun, too. And, you know, we did a jumping show before, and it really we didn't take off. And we're so happy that yours has. And that's a direct correlation to you. Nothing to do with me because I don't know a damn thing about jumping.
No. We're a great pair.
Yeah, I know nothing. You know everything. It's perfect.
No, I do not know everything. That's for sure. But I think it's our combined superpowers of ADD.
And then we have Jennifer sitting in the background who makes it all work.
Shaking her head, yes, as we get derailed and go off topic.
Yes, exactly. Two people with ADD shouldn't be allowed to do a show together.
I know it. Anyway. Seriously.
Jennifer, what is coming up on today's
living,
show?
I shake my head and I roll my eyeballs for a living.
Yes.
<I did. laughs> They're never going to get it together. We'll never get back on track.
We're always late for guests because, yeah. Oh, well. All right, Jennifer, we do have a show. Emily has planned a beautiful show for today.
She has. And the only thing I miss about our new system with great sound is I don't have Glenn's mute button anymore.
She used to have my mute button.
And, one of my goals on my whiteboard for 2016 is to get the mute button back. That's it. So anyway, coming up onto the show, we're going to start out with Jennifer Woods Media News Report, as we always do. This time, Lindsay's going to fill in. And then Adam Kramer from a company called Equisport is going to stop by. And we're going to learn about how people can grow a pasture right there in your backyard, an entire pasture for your horse. And after the song, hopefully we'll have time for it, Maggie Fullerton and Ron Dewar, is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah.
Are going to stop by with more. Sun Roads Farmery, they're the grass folks, right?
They're the grass folks. We're going to hear about it.
And then Luann's going to have a new product for us. It's bound to be something fun and interesting. And then rounding out the show at the very end, squeaking in at the finish. Is going to stop by from Voltaire Design. Those are the folks with the really gorgeous saddles that we see at Rolex every year. Yeah, so stay tuned for the fray.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate that. Well, Emily, before we get started with our guests coming up here, we got to find out a little bit about you. You've been up there in Socrates, New York, home of show jumping in the Northeast. And I know that you have some horses out there working. So how has your month been?
It has been very busy. We are just now, this is Tuesday, the first Tuesday after a three-week circuit there at Saugerties. We had quite a few horses showing. Showing was great. Got some nice placings. It's always so you know, epic feeling for 3 weeks showing. A lot of people just show for like 2 weeks and then they stop. But we live there and we have some young horses. And so we rotate the horses and all of this. But yeah, you're like, wow, the horse show hangover. We're just recouping. But it was good. The horses were great. I have my baby horse, which I've been so excited about. The black stallion that I had last year, who is now 5 and is off at his new development home. I have his little brother, who is now 3, and we just got him under tack and riding around. He is so cute. So I've been going back and forth to the farm in Central Valley, New York. So it's a little bit of driving back and forth, but it's worth it to play with him. I'm really excited to get him on show team next year. He is so super cute, and he's really well behaved. You can't help but compare the siblings together, and he's got a little more control over the explosions here as a 3-year-old. So we're happy with that. But yeah, it's been busy with the horses and busy with the clothing line. We've launched our custom program at S Equestrian with the shirts and now jackets. So that's really taken off.
What you do with the shirts is they're show shirts. So, you know, the outside has to be pretty, you know, it can be stylish, but it has to be pretty plain, right? It can't have logos all over it.
So, it does, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you do the insides of the collars and stuff, so when you have your buttons open in the front, you can see the designs. And some of the designs you've gotten recently have been really cool.
They're so cool. It's fun to put out the stock colors that we do. We have 4 base liners with our S Equestrian logo, and they look great. They sell well. Dover carries quite a few, mobile units carry. But what was really taken off is this custom program, and it's so fun because every production has all of these different people's logos. Obviously, I would never be able to come up with all of those logos. It's just awesome. And my logo, it's a little bit like Private Label, is actually not on it. So for your Team Barn shirts or some tack stores even, they do custom shirts with their logo on the inside of the collar. And when it's buttoned up, it's white. You can choose your own choice of color snap to match your logo. And there is embroidery that you can have on the outside, but generally we place it where it's not visible under the jacket. People love it. It's just been so much fun to see them out there. And you really get the team spirit, which the company goes back and forth between IHSA, which is the college team riding, and then A Circuit riding. And I make no secret about it. That's what I'm always saying. It's so different when you go to IHSA, you have the same kids a lot of times that are out there showing at the A Circuit. But when they get there and it's the team camaraderie, it's unbelievable. And they really jump in. They love it. And they have the team shirt. So now we're seeing that in the A Circuit world where the farms are starting to get their team shirts. And you really see that same sort of team building. Everybody's so excited. You see them all down at the ring or all on a golf cart together, and they've all got their collars popped open with their barn logo. It's cool. It's really fun.
How far are we away from, and I think this is going to happen eventually, how far are we away from looking like the rodeo guys and the race car drivers where there are logos all over our clothes? Because it's gone to that point where you need the sponsorships, and sponsorships are going to become more important as any sport grows. So how far away, you think?
I think we're definitely getting there in the jumpers. It's more so in Europe than it is in the U.S. It will...
Because you see it on the pants. You see it on the riding, on the outsides of the riding pants along the seam. You see the
little bit here and there. But the thing is that it's going to be up to the USCF because they have rule standards, and we are a little bit living under the oppression of the Hunter and Equitation Ring. They want no labels. Well,
never going to see anything.
Right. I know exactly.
They're like, going to die a slow death without any sponsors, while everybody else has the eventers and jumpers have sponsors everywhere.
Right.
And they're going to still be going, but we're about tradition.
It's so fine. Take that elsewhere. Like, so are we. But we're also about evolving.
Yeah. Making money and staying in business.
Exactly. You know, and like, that's where it goes. And that's what is exciting for the spectators. They can relate with that. And it of course, for the visibility for the sponsors. So, I mean, it's apples and oranges to me. I think we should just run jumper shows and then run Equitation Hunter shows. I mean, people will disagree because a lot of businesses have both, but that'll be what holds us back. I mean, if you go into the tack stores, when you're looking at clothing, if you compare a U.S. tack store to a European tack store, I mean, it is so different. You don't even shop the same styles inside the same clothing line, because the stores in the U.S., they have to spend the majority of their budget on tan breeches, plain white shirts, plain dark jackets. Even the Animo jacket that has that small tag on the arm, that's not acceptable in the Equitation. So where there's a divide for sure. I think where it's full steam ahead in the jumpers, a little slower in the U.S. than it will be in Europe. And then,
you know,
course,
who's going to have that first is the eventers.
Right. They can lead the way.
Yeah, I think they're going to have that first. I definitely think that they're the ones that are, because they already are kind of leading the way in cross country and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think in dressage we'll ever see the rodeo shirts.
Right.
You know, I don't think we're going to see that. We're going to see those big logo. You know, we're not going to see an Ariat logo down the sleeves of the dressage coat. I don't think we'll ever see that. But I think there is kind of a place for it, you know, in jumping, in eventing. I think there is kind of a place for that.
I think so, too, especially with the numbers that we're getting on our live streams. People are interested. There's more publicized events, and that's, you know, where the money comes from. That's the sponsorship. That's how we can build the whole infrastructure here. So to me, it's a no-brainer, but time will tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Well, let's get to our first guest.
Yay. Well, we have my lovely friend, Lindsay Brock, who is with Jennifer Wood Media. We don't get to hang out as much anymore, which I'm sad because she's up in Vermont. So I wanted to bring her on and tell us about what's happening up there. The show is really exploding. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thanks, guys. It's so good to talk to you.
I know. I feel like I never get to see you. It's so sad.
I know.
I saw you out there in Vermont. I shot up to visit some vendors and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. You're up here doing your thing. And I really got a feel for it. It's changed so much. I went up there and showed as a junior in the equitation and then have not been back for gosh, like 15 or 20 years, but popping up the other week, it's really exploded. And I just thought it would be great to have you on, tell us a little background about the show and really what's changed. What can people look forward to up there?
Yeah, you know, it really has, you know, grown a lot this year. I think this year is probably one of the first years in several years that we've been able to talk a lot about sold out stabling in Vermont. You know, a couple people have said, wow, I've never seen those back tents go up in a few years. So, you know, I think next year people are going to have to get their entries in pretty soon because it will sell out. We had a few weeks this week that were completely full. So it's great to see so many people coming to enjoy the show and also the area of Manchester.
Yeah, it's interesting because how old is the show?
Well, it's been at its current location for a few years, but it's moved around in different spots in Vermont. So it's many years old, but it's only been in its current location for a few of them.
Yeah, no, Vermont's not a place that you say and you think of show jumping immediately. You know, you think of mountains and hippies. And that's what I think of for Vermont and New Hampshire.
Totally.
So do you have mountains and hippies?
We have the mountains for sure.
Okay, all right. You guys are the gypsies, actually.
Yeah, I know. It's such a cute area, though. And I didn't realize, since it had been so long since I drove up, it's not that far away. It's only like an hour and a half from us in Saugerties. No. Tons of people were up there, and it's just beautiful. Tell us about the area.
So it's funny because I drive back every Monday and then go back to the show every Wednesday. And we actually have a few competitors who, you know, are leaving some young horses in Vermont to jump the Grand Prix there and then going back and forth to Saugerties to show some of their other horses. So it's really nice, you know, they can kind of take advantage of both shows. But the showgrounds are beautiful. They're right at the foot of the mountains. And then outside, you know, there's really great restaurants, obviously the Manchester Designer Outlets, for the shopaholics among us. And, you know, it's just a beautiful place. And there's a lot of things to do outdoors, be it hiking, tubing. You know, everyone has a packed Monday when they're in Vermont because there's so much to do around.
Yeah, it really gives that feel. It's not just the horse show. You've got this adorable town and then the outlets, of course. I mean, it's those. That's fabulous. So how many weeks is it this year?
It's 6 weeks. And you know, probably the biggest highlight and probably the draw that people have experienced and wanted to come see Vermont, whether it's the first time, they've always come, they've taken a break for a while, is the new footing. They redid the footing in every single competition ring, every warm-up ring, and every lunging area. So, you know, people were really eager to see that happen. So, you know, in my interviews, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, we took a break for a few years and then we wanted to come back, or, you know, we've been coming for a long time and this just upped it a notch. And then you have people who are experiencing it for the very first time.
And it obviously everybody's very happy. That's yes. the word on the street talking to people. Everybody's like, this is a player on the horse show schedule. You definitely can shoot up with your older horses for sure. Now the footing is so much better, but like you're saying, the young horses, and that's something that I'm very passionate about. It's a beautiful venue for that. Mm-hmm. And the courses.
Yeah. And you know, we have some really great course designers. We had Michelle Valancourt right before he went to the Pan Am Games build with us. So you've got some great builders who are building to spec, but they know that they have some young horses. And I think that that's what people focus on in Vermont a lot, is they bring their young strings there to develop them, and they can do a good job of it there, while also the courses are still challenging enough for the seasoned horses that we see. So, you know, we've seen some, you know, really seasoned horses win some Grand Prix and some welcomes and some derbies, but we've also seen some horses that are just starting at that level do really well. So
I got a question for both of you. So, you know, if we take a look, so much has changed, especially in the jumping world in the last 10 or 20 years. And there are so many more really, really good venues than there ever have been in the past. So it used to be you went to New York in the winter and you went to Florida in the, or, you know, vice versa. You went to New York in the summer and Florida in the winter. But now we got North Carolina in there. We got Vermont in there. We got Kentucky in there. There's so many places to go. How does a rider decide?
I think it's so tough. I mean, it's very difficult. And I think that's why we were so happy with the success that Vermont has seen this year, because, you know, in the beginning we run against Lake Placid, in the end we run against Saugerties, and then, you know, people are going to Spruce at that time and people are at Tryon. And, you know, I think that we were really pleased to see the numbers grow because they have so many choices.
And that is, am I making that up, or is that a big change that's happened in the last 10 years?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a real factor for sure. And your numbers will thin out at the different venues. But when you have, like what I noticed, sort of having not been there for so long and coming up to Vermont, I thought this is a real horse show, a great venue for young horses, for older horses. Like Lindsay's saying, the course designers are great. And the numbers are proving that they keep growing. And like Lindsay was saying, the Hunter Derby, I mean, that's gotten quite large there.
Yeah, we've had between 30 and 45 horses in that Derby every week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know how many horses were at the show, the competition, the circuit up there?
I mean, it's kind of been varying between each week, but you know, we're upwards probably close to 1,000, you know, it's there's only so much space where we can put stabling, but you know, I think a lot.
and that's true even of Wellington. I mean, when you go into a place like this and the show becomes popular, there are other issues. Then it's the infrastructure of the town. You know, how's that handle? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are not enough restaurants. There's, you know, you always have those problems when shows become big. Where to stay, you know, all of that. Has the town caught up with that, or is it still an issue up there?
I think so. You know, I think that the restaurants there, it's kind of an interesting area because I think they rely on summer months to, you know, get them through the winter. You know, winters are tough up here. But so I think that their philosophy is the more the merrier because, you know, they have these three busy months and that kind of gets them through the winter. You know, I think it's funny because a couple people have said, you know, it's a little bit quieter in town this year. And I said, well, because there's about twice as many people at the horse show, so the days are a little bit longer, so they have to wait a little bit before they go into town. Okay.
Getting in a restaurant at 8 o'clock in the evening is impossible.
I'm sorry?
So getting in a restaurant at 8 o'clock at night is impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's when the rings ended an hour and a half ago and they're hungry.
Because we all know that horse people don't cook. So
no, there's no time for cooking. There's just consuming calories while working. Yeah, it is. It's so cute up there. And that's the way it feels. Everybody feel, I did walk through all the stabling, checking in some of my riders and going through vendor row, and just, it was a really, it just felt really positive. Everybody seemed to be having a good time. There were no complaints about footing or organization. Nobody seemed to have anything to say about the growth, you know? So like you're saying, Glenn, sometimes when the shows start to get bigger, there are problems. There are scheduling issues. There are ring issues. There's, you know, town issues that they can't handle. You can't get book hotels, all of this, but it just, it really looks like it's poised to continue to grow. So it was very exciting to see. And like Lindsay saying, the footing, I mean, that you need to have good footing. This is what we do. We're show jumping. That's important. And it's not cheap. It takes a lot for these companies, these horse show companies, to dig it up and redo it. And it really looked good to me.
Yeah. And that's, I think, I'm saying, you know, when I talk to people about, you know, what they like about the horse show, why they come, you know, the usual answer is, you know, well, we like it here, or it fits with our schedule, or everyone I talk to in Vermont, the response always is because we love this horse show. And, you know, I think it's interesting, on Sunday we had Joyce Slater, who's a 61-year-old rider, won the Low Junior Amateur Classic. And, you know, she's a perfect example. She started coming, I think, in 2002 or something, and fell in love with the show and has been coming ever since. And that's kind of the story that you hear from a lot of the people at the horse show.
Hey, I got to change gears here a little bit before we run out of time, Lindsay. And that, you know, I got to meet you a couple times, I think, now at different shows. And I was just at the podcasting conference over the weekend for all the, it was the largest one in the world. And one of the things that I was asked a lot is, how did we build the Horse Radio Network to be like one of the top three in the world now? And I said, you know, I said this, and it's true. I said, we have terrific listeners, but it's also the relationships we have made with companies like Jennifer Wood Media, who are very open to really, you know, getting the word about horses. And it used to be in the old days that if I went to a magazine 20 years ago, they were very closed-minded and would not share anything. I think we've gotten so much better as an industry, especially in the horse world, because we're fighting an uphill battle. I mean, we're horse people. We're a small minority in this country. It's a little different in Europe, but in this country, we're like a small sport, right? Even though there's a lot of people in the sport, we don't get a whole lot of love. So we have to create our love. And I think that companies like Jennifer Wood Media and all the different marketing companies and magazines and everybody we work with, kind of all working together, I think we're starting to get some love in mainstream media now. So good on you guys.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And we actually have an exciting announcement at Jennifer Wood Media. We've actually joined forces with Jennifer Ward at Starting Gate Communications. And, you know, you're starting to see some stuff come out from Jump Media. And
I didn't know who they were.
Yeah, that's us. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, Vermont is, you know, one of the first clients that we're actually, you know, working for under the new Jump Media title. So, Jen Wood and Jen Ward kind of joined forces, and we're one and the same now. So that's kind of exciting.
The Jens.
Yeah,
I know, right? That's
not
so
that
funny.
Confusing at all.
I know, not that it's confusing. Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, that is awesome. That's very exciting, because it's just the, I mean, that's what it's about, getting the word out, and you want to have, you cover all your bases, you for sure, the bigger the better. That's very exciting.
Well, we appreciate you guys being part of this show for a long time now, and really helping us get the word out about these various venues across the country.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know, it's been great for sure. And we love our FaceTime down in Wellington. That's always the best.
I'll be back. I had so much fun last time. We're going to do that again.
Definitely. We can't wait to have you guys.
All right.
It'd great. Be awesome. Cool, cool. Well, thanks for giving us the update.
Of course.
Very cool. You guys check it out. It's spectator friendly, wouldn't you say? People can just drive up. You don't need tickets. You can just check out the show.
Absolutely. There's actually an admission fee, but it goes to support a local library and an equine rescue in Manchester. So it's for a good cause, but it's definitely spectator friendly.
And what's the websites that we can find you and the show at?
Yep. VermontSummerFestival.com.
And is it still Jennifer Wood Media, or has that changed?
We're working on our Jump Media website. So it's Jennifer Wood Media and Starting Gate Communications. So we'll be launching the new website soon. So stay tuned.
Okay, great.
Yay. Very exciting. Cool, cool. Well, thanks for checking in, Lindsay. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Have a good day, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Vermont wow. and horses and jumping and major shows. Who would have thought?
You know, and it was always, you know, kind of a small-ish kind of show when I was a junior. You know, now they have those equitation days on Tuesday, which is really popular. So it's sort of like point scouting, like the kids that are trying to get the rest of their points to qualify for finals. And then the shows that offer that, Hits does the same. You know, they become a hub for those businesses. But no, it was so cute. I hadn't been there in ages, but going up there and seeing Lindsay that other week, it just feels great. There's grass everywhere. It's fun. People can sit out on the grass and watch. You can get in the bleachers. There's tons to do. It was really a really cool time.
Very good. Can you zip line into the showgrounds?
I know, right? It's like totally that area too. It's like super like hiking and outdoors, and I think they're hippies. I don't know. Lindsay didn't
yeah, she didn't react to that. Maybe she's one of them and didn't want to
admit
it. She
might be a little bit of a hippie, to be honest. We say it in love, Lindsay. But yeah, it was so funny. It's a good vibe up there though. It was great, and the competitors seem happy too. So that was cool. I'm glad that we got to get her on to talk about it.
You know, we talk about them being hippies over there. You're like right next to the home of Woodstock. So, I mean, we can't rule out where you're at in Socrates either.
Oh, yeah. It's very serious here. Very serious. I mean, it's good because things come with hippies.
All right. Enough hippie talk on horses in the morning. Okay, let's go to Adam.
We're moving on. Okay. We have our next guest. We're very fortunate to have a successful rider, Adam Kramer. He has a business there in New Jersey for quite a while now. Equisport.
Where there are no hippies.
There are no hippies in New Jersey. They're not allowed. I think, yes, for sure. I think we can say that. But they've been on the scene for a while now. I thought it would be great to have Adam come on and give us a little tidbit about young horse development. That's something they specialize in there. So welcome to the show, Adam.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning. We're good. I'm blowing up your spot here. Adam is one of the very few horse people who is actually on something called vacation.
yeah I'm on vacation with a little family time, but it's good.
That's awesome. Where'd you guys end up going? Down the shore, you said?
Yeah, we're down on Long Beach Island this week. We've got a lot of family here, so it's nice. And you know, my daughter's soon to be 2 years old, so she gets to hang out with her cousins and sort of do that thing.
Goodness.
So it's fun.
Okay, I got a question though, Adam. I know horse people, and you know, we're all horse people, and sometimes we go on vacation, after about 2 days we start getting itchy and we start getting antsy, and then it's like, don't I have a horse to ride today? Are you a good vacationer, or are you one of like the rest of us?
I've had to learn. Still at heart, I'm like the rest of us. You know, I spent yesterday working and finishing up a horse sale deal, and you know, today I have this interview on the radio, which is nice. And tomorrow, I'm sure I'll find something else to do to occupy a few hours of time and get back to the grind of vacation, really.
Because let's face it, our families see us so little that if they get a large dose, they really don't like it either. So, you know, we have to control that.
Controlled doses.
You can't spread yourself too thin.
Well, I'm sure Adam and Lacey, his wife, have their hands full on vacay here with a almost 2-year-old. That's a job, for sure.
Yeah, it's a job, but it's a good one. You know, she's really easy around the horses. So when we have our daily routine at home, she participates in that. And you know, down here, my grandparents are here, and you know, they all want to sweep her up and whisk her off. So that makes it easier for us.
Oh, she is adorable. Now she's riding. I see you guys periodically. It looks like you guys are training for the lead line, walking back and forth in FEI stabling.
Yep,
I love it.
Yep, absolutely. She likes to ride in a fence back in FEI stabling and Saugerties. And, you know, she's undefeated since she started the lead line down in Ocala. So she's, you know, holding
awesome.
Her title.
Oh, and she loves the ponies, huh?
She loves the ponies. You know, we like to go and ride our own pony, and she likes to brush her pony, and she's very active with that, as much as a 2-year-old's going to be. And she liked, you know, this past week up in Saugerties, she liked going and watching the older kids with the ponies and the bows and jumping, and she, you know, she really gets it. If she's watching the Grand Prix and a horse has a rail down, you know, she goes, oh, come on. So
at a young age,
she's definitely investing herself in the interest of the sport.
Oh boy, get ready. It's
It'll
the pony.
Quick. If she wants to do it, we'll do it.
Yeah, you know what? It's different when the parents are in the industry. It's I always, whenever the kids start getting hooked on the ponies, I just think, oh boy, you guys messed up now. It is very expensive, yeah. The ponies.
Yeah, but, you know, I support it. Obviously, we're professionals in the industry. My wife's still a successful amateur. And, you know, the thing I'll protect the most is if she wants to ride and it's her own thing, then I'll support it. But, you know, if she needs to have to go to a trainer and go to pony camp and make it her own thing, if she's going to do it because mommy and daddy ride and not really embrace the true passion of the sport and industry, then, you know, it's not really
that's the way to do it.
Worth it.
That's great. Well, yeah, she is adorable and she does look like she loves it. It's very fun.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we won't waste a ton of time here getting expansive, but we're so appreciative that you could come on and talk to us about your experience. We were going to discuss young horse development, which is something I know you have tremendous experience with. So fill us in. Where should we start?
Yeah, just in general, you know, there's a lot of different views. Obviously, everybody has their own program. And starting a young horse, my philosophy is obviously the flat work once you get past the confirmation and the ability. I tend to do a lot of horses that are already a little bit under saddle, unless it's something we've bred ourselves. So that makes it a little easier to sort of gauge what you're working with and what their athletic ability is. Preparing at home for the young horse, whether it's for a competition, mainly a competition. We have a lot of young horse competitions in this country. As they also do in Europe. And yeah, I do see a difference between the two countries. But I think they're also moving forward in the right way as far as young horses. And we need people who are going to develop those young horses the right way. You know, you have a lot of different levels of riders that are looking for a lot of different levels of horses, you know. So an advanced rider on the large global tour isn't necessarily going to have the time to develop the 5 or 6 year old because they're out starting on the big tour around the world. So from a riding standpoint and a training standpoint, you need someone that you work closely with, or it's your niche in the market, and you wind up producing those horses and selling them in the future where they are being developed for, you know, the headhunter riders that are on the big tour. And that's sort of where the market still needs to go and is going. So, you know, I think that's fabulous. I do, you know, our farm, for example, when we built it with the horse in mind. And then obviously to be able to focus on sort of what do you need to build an international rider or to build an international horse. So, you know, we've got the double of Liverpool's. We've got nice little introductory banks and sort of took bits and pieces from every horse show around the world and put them into our facility so that those horses at a younger age can become trained and experienced and confident at a lot of those different obstacles without being overtaxed. So that's definitely...
Well, that ties in. You said train them the right way, and you know that really jumped out at me. What, in your opinion, is the right way?
Well, as I said before, everyone has their own system. You know, for me, I feel in my system the right way is obviously the flat work is very important. Having a horse that's broke on the flat in the right manner, you know, positively, without straining them or overtraining them, obviously knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are and being able to be patient to develop those. I do feel that that's a big part of what goes into jumping a course. You know, once you get to the show, you've got to be able to ask the test that the course designer asks you, you have to answer those correctly. And the horse also has to be able to learn from the mistakes that may happen along the way. So I think if you throw the, you know, something over challenging to the horse, then obviously it's going to be a setback. So your program has to be developed so that everything is a building block, whether it's the, you know, I really like the use of the flat work and then tying that into some simple gymnastics. You don't have to over school them in height, but they do need muscle fitness and conditioning, galloping sets on certain days. Definitely the younger the horse, you know, I prefer with my 5-year-olds, do a little bit, a few months, throw them in the field a couple weeks, do a little bit, throw them in the field, and then come back fresher. Then you have the horses that you have to sit there and go, yeah, I know it's going to go all the way, and you have to be patient to make sure that you don't use them. You know, I think longevity is what a responsible young horse trainer and rider would be looking for. You know, the, maybe they can win today at 6 years old all the time, but what do you have when you have a 10-year-old? Is it used up? Is it, you know, is it still developing at that stage? Is there a gap in the training? So,
Yeah, those are really good points, because you get, I'm interested in your experience with our young horse program here in the States, because it feels that at times the young horse trainers are less focused, like you're saying, on the individual animal, that the rest is so important, the time, the fitness, the muscle memory, all of this, and they're more focused on meeting those milestones. 5-year-old jumper, 6-year-old jumper, like this. Like, how would you handle that pressure of the young jumper system when evaluating each young horse?
I think you have to sort of take what your goal is at the end of the year, say for that 5 or 6 or 7 year old, and say, I want to, you know, compete and be successful at the Hampton Classic, and that's going to be on this week of the year. And write it down in a calendar and say, okay, this is where I need to peak. This is what we need to do to qualify to get there, and then work backwards. Say, you know, 2 weeks before the show, I'm going to school it on the grass. You know, a month before the show, I'm going to school at home and rest. These shows I'm going to attend. And then that way you're not sort of racing around for your qualification points and that kind of thing at the very last second. And just being able to prepare the whole horse and manage the whole horse and their feeding program, their training program, to their competition program, and being able to say, yeah, it does need a break, or, you know, it will show here. For example, I have 2 5-year-olds that I've just imported. You know, Princeton has a nice 5-year-old young, 6-year-old and 7-year-old young tour in the fall. That suits those horses. So my idea for those is, great, I'm not going to be able to qualify for the Hamptons this late in the season. So I can train them at home, give them a good experience, take them to that venue a few times, let them learn the venue before I get to that competition. And I'm not hard pressed to sort of do anything. And then at that venue, and at Princeton, I'll be able to develop a plan and have time to say, this is what I want to do with them as a 6-year-old in the Florida circuit. And I have a few months again to say, this is what their strengths are, this is what their weaknesses are, and be able to work with those between, you know, the fall show season ending outdoors and the beginning of the outdoor season starting down in Florida in the winter. So being able to give them good gaps where you don't have pressure, or you don't have to put them under a lot of pressure, is for sure the best way to manage the whole horse as well as the brain, I think, you know. A lot of horses can get too much too quickly. So,
and how, I guess that's a question I'd love to hear you from your experience. You know, when you have these young horses, you do a lot of them and quite successfully and importing them in all of this. When you start running into some issues which arise, it's development, the horses are going to have weaknesses, you have to work through them. What sort of qualifies maybe you're just pumping the brakes a little bit on the trajectory? If you have a 5-year-old and you start running into, say, what kind of issues that would be a red flag for you as a trainer to say, you know what, the young jumper program annually on the specs, the schedule is not going to work for this horse as a 5-year-old. Let me go a little slower, and then maybe we catch up the 6-year-old year, or maybe you have to do level classes or what? What would you say? Just, you know, because I feel that some trainers, they just push too hard. You know, they just get whatever it is they want to push through because they want to go to the Hampton Classic or wherever the young jumper finals are for their zone. But, you know, like you're originally saying, it's about longevity in the horse. It's not about the 5-year-old jumper championships. It's about having a proper competitive horse as an 8, 9, 10 year old. But what would be some red flags for you to get back to training and maybe pump the brakes on the show schedule?
Yeah, I mean, if they're not feeling confident, obviously the horse needs to feel confident at the venue. You're going to deal with greener issues. Each horse is a little different, like people. So, but once you have them in your barn and in your program, you sort of know the mental status. You know, so if they're a little spooky of the golf cart, that's not a big deal. But if they're going into the ring and they're feeling like, I don't really want to jump this big, or I'm uncertain, and they're kind of holding their breath a little bit, then, you know, you may want to say, okay, right now, maybe today and this week, we need to do level zero, level one, level two, and something like that. Just sort of dumb it down a little bit for them to build on the confidence. I definitely think confidence is a big issue in any horse. And once you start to sacrifice that or lose it, then you need to kind of step back and say, okay, where did we lose it? Where do we regain it? Is the horse saying no, or is it saying, I don't know, I'm not sure? And being able to sort of feel and listen to the horse a little bit as far as what their feedback to you as the rider and trainer is. Some of that nice. Stuff you can tell from the ground, and some of that stuff you can tell from sitting on them.
Which is so important.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Very important, you know, and all too often, the one thing that I do see is I see a lot of people who choose to go the route of investing in a young horse, 4, 5, 6, and they're not qualified. That rider shouldn't be on it. So that's another big one. And no matter what level, that combination would be showing up. But I do see that quite often too. And it's kind of a little sad, you know, just take a minute and say, okay, financially I can afford to do this, so I'm going to buy a young one because it's cheaper. Well, everybody doesn't necessarily win in that situation. So that, you know, that's something that you need to think about as well. But
Adam, that's our quote of the week. I'm just going to say amen. That's yeah. probably the biggest thing we all see. And by the way, that's not just in jumping, but all eventing. And, you know, there's eventers out there that are riding terrific horses on cross country who have no idea what they're doing. You know,
sure.
Yeah. And in that case, it's really dangerous. So, amen to what you just said there.
You know, another philosophy, I think, is in being at the young horse shows in Europe, as well as, you know, participating in those classes, and then seeing the young horses here and participating in the classes here, I think you do have a little bit of a difference. You know, over there, the five-year-olds, for example, they jump in open water. It's a liver pool decorated like an open water. It's the last test, nothing wide. But from a young age, those horses, you know, they can... They'll build the Grand Prix of Aachen at 2'6" and show them over it.
Yeah.
So those horses a little bit are started differently, whereas we don't necessarily have courses here where one day develops the next. You know, I think it's definitely changing and getting better. In my opinion, I think if you're trying to develop a Grand Prix horse, it should sort of see the questions it's going to be asked in the future at a low level. And obviously being able to answer them right or wrong without being detrimental to the safety and training of the horse and the program. But, you know, I do see the horses that are young coming over from Europe are a little bit further along than the horses that are bred and started here in the States. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah, well, and you have so much experience.
I don't know, but...
It's, well, you know, I think the numbers show that, you know, you know, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but I think if you go back through and scroll all the young jumper rankings, you know, a lot of those horses are not going on to be something in this country at a later date, which is sad. But before we run out of time, you guys check Adam Kramer out online, equisportllc.com, specializing in young horses. If you have a horse for sale or have something, a young horse you'd like to develop, these guys are great. So check them out online. And Adam, where do we see you next? What horse show is coming up?
I go to Princeton next week, and then I'll be back up in Saugerties for week 7 and 8. So I'll be there with the clients. We have a good group of horses coming. And Lacey's got a new one coming, so she's going to get back into the amateur ring. So
that'll
be exciting for her to get back on the map.
Super. And what do you have going? You had a Grand Prix horse a couple years ago. What's going on with your rides to date?
I've got 2 95-year-olds that we just imported, and then I have a really nice 8-year-old that I'm super, super excited about. He's got some 145 experience over in Europe. He's just been here 3 weeks, so we played with him a little bit and started some level 5 and 6 classes, and sort of got an idea of strengths and weaknesses in both us together as a team, and we can work on those. And, you know, I'll probably get him started in the bigger tour once we get to Florida. So that'll be plenty of time.
Oh, great. Oh, that's exciting. We love seeing you in the big ring. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, you guys keep up with Adam. You guys are on Facebook as well, Equisport LLC, and you can watch Adam live stream as well if you check into any of our Socrates classes. But enjoy the rest of your vacation, Adam. Thank you so much for checking in with us.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks for having me. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the day.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, yeah, I saw somebody else, speaking of websites, that came out with a new one, and it looks fantastic, and that's S-Equestrian.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was epic. It took forever, but it is finally out, so you can check us out online as well, ECEEquestrianCo.com. It is shopping cart live. You can order. One of the very fun things that we changed about our website is you can now only order what is in stock. The inventory is somewhat visible. So it's very up to date. You can see what's there. Nobody's disappointed. We also have the custom program up and running with a contact us page. So you guys check it out. We're so excited to get this custom program really launched. And the orders just keep coming out. I'm pretty good. I'm getting better about continually posting so people can see, but it's fun. They really come out nice.
Very good. And that's S-Equestrian. You'll find it there. All of the terrific products. And we talked a little bit about them earlier in the show. Well, now, speaking of products, and we've never talked about this, I guarantee in 4,200 episodes here on the Horse Radio Network, we're going to do a first here today. Why don't you introduce our next guest?
We have Maggie Fullington from Florida, who has brought us an amazing new product. I had never even heard of this, did not know it was an option. Their website is sunroadsfarmery.com. You can check it out. Welcome to the show, Maggie.
Hi, how are you all?
We're good, we're good.
And
thanks,
Maggie,
for joining
I was
us.
Not able to, I don't see Ron on here. So it looks like you're doing a solo.
Yes, well, he's in Hanoi right now.
Oh.
So he may be having some connection problems.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, wow. Cool? Well, we got Maggie. It's
world.
Okay.
Can I ask a question first? What the heck's a farmery?
Well, actually, that's a word that Ron made up that I don't know what it is either.
Oh, okay. But, I love it, though. It's a great word.
Yeah, I asked him the same thing. There was a number of words that had to do with this product that I nixed at the very beginning of our relationship, so... that one might be on its way out.
<That's>
No,
so
I love it. I love farmery. That'll be in the dictionary by next year.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Emily. Sorry.
No. It is funny. It's funny that you said that because when I went to the website, I was like, I don't. I'm a horse girl. I don't know any of these words. But I mean, it's okay. This product is unbelievable. I don't have the whole background, so you're going to fill us in. But just the little tidbits, even I've talked to people about as the show was coming up, people are just head over heels. Wow, it's amazing. We didn't even know. So fill us in. Just back it up about the company. What's going on?
What this is, well, first of all, let me back up for 1 second. I'm really into nutrition and feeding horses correctly, of course, because I'm a breeder. So, I was concerned because copious amounts of grain and brood mares gestating don't really mix. So for a number of reasons. So I was looking for something that I could supplement. Being in South Florida, of course, we have no nutritional value in our grass at all, sadly.
Or our hay.
Yes, that's true. So we have to import everything, from the great north. To Florida, and we're at the bottom of a long, thin peninsula, and it's very, very expensive. So I started to look into other things, and I came across this, and I just thought, oh, this is cool. Spoke to Ron, who invented this product, and now we're getting together and going to try to market it some more to the horse show crowd. He's having no problem marketing it to cow farmers and, other various type of livestock products, but he's never really approached the horse show world, and I think we all are missing the boat. So what it is various sizes of containers that actually sprout grass, and it's sprouted on a tray that is filled with water initially. And these trays, after 5 days, become this big, huge, long thing of grass with a lot of roots all worked together so that when you take it out, it's sort of solid. You can cut it in half or whatever, but you feed it to your horses and they eat it, roots, grass, everything. And
okay, wait a minute here. Now, I've never heard of this, okay? So I'm coming in brand new, and I'm on the website, and I want to give people a picture. You are not planting this grass in your pasture.
No.
This is, I love the name. It's Sun Roads Farmery Pasture in a Box, and that's exactly what it is. So instead of, so I actually take this tray, which is about the size, I don't know, it's about.
Well, there's various sizes of trays, and the great thing is that you can get many different sizes of this thing. Now, I have 24 horses on my farm, so I'm getting a real big one. But you can actually get one that's small enough and it comes on a little trailer that you can drag it behind you and take it to horse shows with you, especially if you're on the road. So what it is it's five layers of trays. And you put the seeds on the bottom layer. And those start to grow. And then next day you put seeds on another layer and you keep going. And by the time you get to the fifth day, the ones on the top have sprouted and are ready to feed.
And then you actually take the tray like into their stall, let's say.
Yep.
How do you feed it?
You pull the tray out, take the grass off, and you can put it in any kind of a container. You can rip it up and put it in a bucket. You can put it in one whole piece in a bigger trough kind of a tray, which is what I do. It's just easier. And they eat it, and it's much more nutritious than even the best Kentucky bluegrass, believe it or not.
I have to say, Maggie would know. For those of you that don't recall, we had her on a previous episode. Maggie has a very successful breeding operation, Marabit Farm there in Florida. So this is real practical application with horses, young horses, older horses. So and you're having success with it.
Yes. And it's also cut my hay bill way, way down, which I really love. But I'm seeing horses that were a little bit iffy. Sometimes young horses go through stages, as we all know, where, you know, they go through the yearling fugly uglies and, you know, they have different ways of growing. But even the horses that I kind of look at and go, oh, yeah, let's look at that one again next year, are starting to bloom. And I guess I didn't realize how important it was for them to have real grass as opposed to the hay blocks and hay that I give them. You know, it's certainly good enough, but this is so much better.
And how do you grow it? I mean, do you set it outside so it gets sun?
Nope. It's in this big, huge square container. It is the exact right temperature, the exact right moisture, and then it has grow lights.
Okay, so it's sort of like its own little greenhouse.
It's its own greenhouse, and you open the door, fill it, you know, throw the seeds in the bottom, and close it. It does everything else. It puts in the right amount of water. It does everything, and the trays, you know, go up, and the top tray is always the one that you feed. So every day you have enough to feed your number of horses, depending on the size unit that you get.
So this is an investment in the beginning, I would think.
It is an investment in the beginning, but obviously, you know, it just like with anything else, you can get a loan for it or they finance it or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of ways to do it. But honestly, the investment is well worth the product.
Oh, it looks so green. I'm on your website now. It's the picture of the wheelbarrow is awesome, filled with all this green grass. I mean, it's like the lawn grass. It looks almost like when you see people are putting down the lawn strips, but it's way greener and nicer.
And also, it is much moister, of course, because the roots are filled with water. So, you know, if you picture beet pulp after you've soaked it, the roots are thick and heavy with water like that.
Wow.
So the horses are getting tremendous fiber, great water, super nutrition. As I said, way better nutrition than any grass that grows anywhere because these seeds are specifically made for this. And
so do they have a different mixture for horses and cows? And
you can put any mixture you want on. And that's the other thing that's interesting is that to date, we do not sell the seeds. The seeds can be sourced from many, many different places.
So you're just selling the
just sell the unit
environment.
But,
yeah.
Right. But you can, we tell you, of course, what kinds of seeds we recommend for different things. And you can source out the seeds anywhere to make it. So it makes it cheaper for you because you can get seeds locally. You can get them. There's bulk seed websites that you can get them, which is what I do. There's a variety of places to get seeds. And actually, one of the things that I'm going to do for Ron is set up a whole page with contacts for places that sell these seeds.
Okay. And I got to ask you. My wife kills a plant just by looking at it. All right. She looks
me
at
too,
a plant,
Jennifer.
It yes, dies. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. You're telling me that even my wife, you're telling me she opens that door and looks in there, they're not all going to instantly die?
This would be correct. Okay. You literally do nothing but spread the seeds on the tray and shut the door.
Wow.
That's hard to believe.
5 days later.
It really is.
Your first set of seeds, a first set of sprouts. So it's sprouted grass, basically, but it's even better than grass. In other words, it's not bahia or alfalfa. This is grass that is so nutritional that horses could live on this and nothing else.
Wow.
So, and the way this system is set up, so you got 5 days working at all times. So when I yes. take today's out, I'll put another layer of seeds down
yep.
to keep the cycle going.
Exactly. Okay. So every morning when you open it up, you have a fresh group of seeds. Of sprouts, sorry. Sprouts.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so it's really cool. And as I said, the horses are devouring it and really looking good. But the other thing that I love is the fact that you can buy a smaller unit and take it on the road with you to horse shows, because then no matter where you are, the horses are getting consistent grass, which, and again, at horse shows, it's rare that you can find a place to graze your horse. Excuse me. So they're getting consistent, rich grass that's the same no matter where you go, because you're growing it yourself.
I can see Emily trucking down the road, hauling her little grass-growing container.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I can see
I definitely
that.
Would.
Could
I
you attach
would.
A grill to the end? Then it's an all-in-one unit. Put
there
a little kitchen in it.
Seriously. Yeah. Have some
What's interesting about the mobile unit is that it's on wheels itself, but it also will wheel right up onto a trailer. So you can either pull it behind your car, you could pull it behind your horse trailer, or it will actually fit in one of the straight stalls. If you want to roll it right in, it's the exact size to fit in a straight stall.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was clever thinking.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, that would be torture for the horses, knowing the best grass in the world is right there beside them and they can't get it.
Exactly.
On their six-hour trip.
Just, the oven. Yeah. 6 hours.
Yes.
Where are you driving? It's like 22 hours.
Oh, yes. I know. You just made a long trip.
Oh, man. I know. You forget about it just in time to get back in the car and do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder why the horses even get back on the truck. Like,
I never
just,
knew
they're
why.
They're so compliant.
I don't know why they get in the trailer. Oh, the only thing I can think of is at least they're not riding then. They're not having to work.
This is true. So, and they've got hay.
It's like a little vacation. Yeah.
So this, I actually haven't seen this yet at the horse shows. Everybody I've been talking to is like, oh, my gosh, they're freaking out about it. And hopefully this turns into some more business. But how...
This is a very young company.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, Ron started this really more of the mind of being able to feed livestock during the winter months when they couldn't get anything but hay. And remember, you know, a few years ago when we had, well, this year too, unfortunately, when we had these weird weather patterns, hay was really getting scarce. Mm-hmm. So farmers were very concerned about how they were going to feed their livestock. And that's really when this idea was born. So, and because this is so consistent, everybody that's tried it is just madly in love with it. It's so much so that now that's why Ron is in Hanoi. They're buying massive numbers of units to feed their livestock because I don't know if you know anything about that area, but they don't grow a whole lot.
Yeah. It's short on a,
yeah.
Foliage. So yeah. Let me ask you two quick questions, then we have to run. One is, I assume it's hooked to a power source, and do you just hook a hose to it to get the moisture into it?
Yep.
That's it?
A hose and electric. That's it.
Okay. All right, good. Well, we're going to have to leave people wanting more. SunRoadsFarmery.com is where you'll find information about pricing and all that stuff.
And since Ron is traveling so much, if anybody is interested in either purchasing a unit or asking more questions, please call me.
Okay.
And my number is 561-248-8885.
Perfect. Okay, very good.
Same number as the farm.
Okay.
That's great. And Maggie's got tons of experience doing this with her personal horses and breeding horses of all ages. So it's very, very informed opinion. I love it. Thank you so much, Maggie, for joining us. Super product.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Cool.
I thought I had heard about everything in the horse world doing these shows. That was a new one. I have never heard of that before.
It's really, I know you would think that we would see them at the trade show or something. I just was like, oh my gosh, this is real.
Now, I think it's a serious investment, but once you got the machinery, there's not a lot that could go wrong with it. And then it's just buying the seeds.
Yeah. And everybody knows.
They have a little kitchen sized one.
Oh, they do? Yeah. I was wondering.
Kitchen sized one, at least. For people.
You could feed your chickens. There were pictures of chickens eating this grass, actually.
Really? So, that's so funny. We have to get some for one for Jamie.
Yes, that's right, for chickens.
Oh, man. Well, it's exciting. I think it's going to really take off. I'll definitely try it. It's, I mean, gosh, Florida, you can't keep the consistency in with performance horses.
Oh, and we got weeds that nobody's ever even heard of.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's cool. You guys check it out for sure.
Very
fun,
good.
Fun.
Well, we're going
so
over
on to our
the,
next guest.
Yeah, we're going over to the equestrian corner now, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got our resident barn girl with a tried product for us. Luann, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're good. We're good. Happy to have you back, bringing
Great.
Us something cool.
Well, thank you. Oh, I am. I'm so excited about this. I actually saw it. I'm doing the Treadstep Denim Breech. I saw it first at the trade show in August, and I have been patiently waiting since August to get them. I ordered mine as soon as I saw them at the Treadstep display, and I couldn't wait to get them. They are so cute. They are the Denim Breech. It has the integrated sock system for the down at the calf. It has a bright red suede patch on the knees with the Euro seat. It also comes in navy patch, but they are so adorable. So I was so excited when they came, and they're super comfortable. They have the articulated knee patch, just like the other Treadstep breeches, where they're the way they're designed, it fits in the boot without all that bulk, which is really nice. But I love them. I've even worn them, believe it or not, out to the grocery store, and you wouldn't believe the people that are not riders are like loving them, but they are very cute.
They are really cute.
I know.
Very well made. Yeah. Go Treadstep.
Very. Yeah. They have a little bit. Yeah. They are great. I love them. They're so cute and very comfortable. They seem to be pretty durable too. And I think they're priced great. I mean, they're $99.95 on our website, theequestriancorner.com. If you go on the site, just search under Treadstep, under women's breeches, and then the drop-down box on the side. You can go into the manufacturers, search Treadstep, and you'll find them on that page. They are great. They've got a little bit wider of a waistband, kind of more of a modified mid-rise. Just really, really cute.
I love the knee patches.
You need to get yourself a pair, Emma.
I know. They look so cute with the red knee patches.
It looks, and with a red polo shirt, so cute.
That is pretty cute.
Really,
that is
really cute.
I like it a lot. Now tell me, is it a Euro seed or traditional? Are there pockets on the back?
It's a Euro seed, and then it has really cute little pockets kind of, well, they go around the Euro seat, so they're kind of like not full pockets. They're just really cute. I don't know. Are you on our website? They've got some great pictures of it.
Oh, can I mention?
Can I
jump in and be a horse husband here?
Sure.
Judging by the pictures and the model that you use, they are very horse husband approved. I'm just saying.
Yes.
There you go.
Hey, we got to do something for the guys, right?
Yeah, no, these are approved. These will catch attention walking around.
That's hilarious.
Just saying.
Definitely. Definitely.
It's got to be
really
something for us. We don't care if you're comfortable.
Yeah,
we care that they look good. That's what we care.
Just how they look. Right.
They need to be fashionable.
They do. Exactly. They do come in the longs and the regulars, which is great because, you know, there's a lot of long-legged equestrians out there. So, you know, they've made adjustments for that so that, you know, they're long enough. But I just couldn't get over not only how cute they look, but they are so comfortable to ride in. They're just, I don't know. I couldn't wait to get them. I've been waiting since August. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And I kept calling Trent up. I'm like, when are these coming in? When are
That's
these coming
so funny.
In? So I'd wait till July, but
it was well worth
they
the wait.
Adorable. It was well worth the wait. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. It's, okay, everybody has all their show gear and everything, but you really do need good training gear and the jeans. I do love
Absolutely.
The jeans.
I do too. And you don't have to be like so worried about going out in public in them. Cause I know I get finished up at the barn and I'm like, oh, I got to go get something at the store rather than going in and changing and coming back out. You know, I just
right.
go to the store and I really have. I've gotten a lot of compliments from non-equestrians.
That's hilarious.
On how cute they were.
They really are so cute. I don't know if you guys saw, I posted was sort of funny this week on Facebook. You know, we have Mary-Kate Olsen comes and rides up at the horse show all the time up at Saugerties in Florida. And she was, you know, wearing the stuff that we all wear, the tan breeches and the boots. And she, the Daily Mail UK picked up her story and had a picture of her just in regular riding gear. And they were like, Mary-Kate Olsen is so fashionable with her equestrian inspired ensemble with her khaki skinny jeans and all of this. I was getting a chuckle out of this. If they saw these, I mean, these are really fashionable skinny jeans here.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
equestrian inspired.
They are definitely
so funny. Well, That's I love funny. It. I'm so glad you got them. Well worth the wait. I'm gonna check them out myself. Very cool.
Yeah, definitely. You'll love them.
I love them. So you guys check them out. TheEquestrianCorner.com. And thank you, Luann, for our new product. We love it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks,
Luann. You'll love them.
Oh, they're so cute.
Thank
cool.
you. Guys.
Take
Talk
care.
To you soon. Bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
They're cute.
Well, very good. Well, we're going. It seems like product hour here. We just had a whole bunch of new products, and now we're going to be talking a little bit about an anniversary for a company that started not too long ago, but has done very well.
Which is incredible. I didn't realize that it was such a new company, but we have the founder, Bryce Goget, from Voltaire Design Saddles. Welcome to the show, Bryce.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Thank you for Skyping in. We know we're on totally different time zones here.
Where are you at, Bryce?
Yeah, I'm in France.
Oh, you're in France? Okay.
Yes, in the south of France where our workshop is.
Super. Well, we're so appreciative if you could come on. We thought, okay, this would be a really fun opportunity to hear about the origins of the company, when you started, and it's not been that long. So fill us in. Tell us about Voltaire Saddles.
You know, we started in August 10th, 2010, so almost 5 years ago. And we started in a small garage in the south of France, and it's been an amazing journey. Now, there are more than 65 people in the company, and and we're having fun, which is very important.
That is important. And now, did you come to the States that first year?
Yes, we came right away in the States. I used to live in the US, so I knew the market there. And so from the beginning, we started selling in the US, first on the West Coast and then on the East Coast.
And Bryce, were you like Bill Gates in your garage? Did you have the sewing machine and you were cutting the leather and putting them together yourself?
You know, I'm not a saddle maker myself. I've been a rider my whole life, and that's what I bring to the company, like more the point of view of the rider. But I teamed up with a saddle maker who is one of the best in France and probably in the world. He had been making saddles for 25 years when we started, and I think he's a genius. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. I do, as everybody knows, I ride in Voltaire saddles myself, and I do quite a bit of sales. So I get frequently people who just hop in the saddle on a new horse, they're not familiar, obviously, the horse or the saddle, all feels weird. And everybody unanimously asks, what is this saddle? This is fantastic, because it really feels different. The whole panel, the way it's put together, the stirrup bars, it makes sense that you're a rider. It's very, very different and by far superior, in my opinion, to all the other saddles. I'm a jumping rider. However, you guys do dressage and eventing, right?
Yes, our number one market in the US is jumping and also hunter, and second eventing and then dressage. We target all three Olympic disciplines.
Now, what you talked about, what makes it different? So let's talk about that. There's so many saddles in the world, Bryce. You know that. You actually, we were talking about that off air this morning. You went into a very crowded space. You decided, I'm going to make saddles in a world where there's a million saddles, right?
Yes.
And everybody claims theirs is the best. Yet here you are 5 years later, and yours are the ones that shows that everybody walks by and they go, wow, that's really nice. And so what makes them different? How did you break into that crowded space?
You know, at the beginning, you have to have a good product, you know, something that stands out, because I think in the horse industry, brands are important, but people are looking for good products to start. And I think that from the beginning, our saddles were really good. They were fitting horses really well. People liked them for themselves, and they saw their horses go better than what they had before. So that's how it started. And we've been really lucky along the road, and it's been, yeah.
Is there something different about the tree design, about the way the tree is done, that makes them fit the horses better?
Yes, that it's a combination of things. First, our saddles are extremely light. It's one of the lightest, if not the lightest, of the market. So it's of course an advantage for
the girls like Emily, about 5 foot tall, who need to throw it up on top of those big horses she has.
I notice, man. I really do. I tell people about it. I'm like, I can pick it up. I can carry it everywhere. It really is.
You know, second is the design of the tree. We have like lots of flexibility in the shoulder area, so it frees the shoulder of the horse, which people really like. And it's also like every single detail we make it like so it's comfortable both for the horse and the rider. So the foam we use is like a shock absorbing foam. There's all of these little things that add up, and then at the end it makes a difference to give a better performance. I think it's true at the same time for the rider and the horse.
I'll tell you one thing that is immediately I noticed. I've had a lot of different saddles. I think I've had probably every saddle, jumping saddle, that's on the market. And immediately I noticed the close fit of the Voltaire saddle. It sits close to your horse's back, so you don't have... You may not even realize that this is happening until you get in a saddle that it's not happening. But your saddle... on some of these other companies will move around. It kind of goes up and down with you as you post a bit. And the saddle just sits close and steady to the back.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, is we think less is more. And so we try to be really close to the horse, but we at the same time giving lots of comfort to the horse. So, and that works out well for us. So it's good. And I also think, you know, the leather we use, it gives a lot of grip, and it's something that riders like. And it's true from the beginner who doesn't want to have his leg move all around, to the Olympic riders who, when they jump meter 60 jumps, they want to feel very secure in their saddle.
Yeah, I see now your pony business is taking off. I see all of these little kids on the ponies in the Voltaire saddles with their little bows. It's so cute, and it's, I think, unique to have a saddle that fits so well to your pony riders, your small people, and then case closed on the big jump saddle. I mean, you've got a great list of sponsored riders, and the fact that it's taken off like this inside 5 years, like Glenn is saying, in an already saturated market. When I saw you guys set up in Florida that first year, I was like, who are these guys coming in? Another saddle maker? Like, there's no way. But it's a superior product. It is, and you have... all of these riders that are out there proving it. And it's just, like you're saying, has to be a good product to be able to have market takeover in 5 years.
And I think it also, on the business side of this, I think it also proves that you don't have to come in and be the cheapest either. I mean, you guys are selling at really a mid to high price point, a quality saddle price, and you're selling them because they are quality. You don't need to come in and be the cheapest and then try and make that work. You really came in with a product and said, look, you're going to pay for it, but you're going to love it.
No, our philosophy is we don't want to compromise, so we want to do the best. So it has a price, and it's not for everyone, unfortunately. But that's, you know, the market we target, people who also want the best to perform at their best. So,
and you know, for a lot of riders, an investment like this is something that they make very few times in their life. So they really want that saddle to last. And from what Emily said so far, I mean, it's not that old yet, but they really are made with quality, and they're made to last, you know? So,
oh, yeah. You see the professionals out there I ride a lot of horses, but there's other professionals that ride much more, and talking with them, they literally just ride right through their saddles. And that's not the case with the Voltaires. They are soft and they're nice for the amateur, but they are hard wearing for the professional. They really, really last.
Yeah. Many people, they spend less money on one saddle, but they end up spending every year a little bit because they're not satisfied with what they have. I think it's best to have a one-time investment in something that is quality and that is going to last. And, you know, I always tell clients, you know, you're going to forget about the price, but every day you're going to ride in that saddle, you're going to be happy. So, and usually they call me a few months after, they're like, you were so right. So
that's
good.
That's awesome. It's
those
so
are the
true.
Nice calls that you get.
Yeah, right.
They
I know.
Make it all worthwhile.
So now, if there is a client that would like to get in a Voltaire saddle, how should they go about that? I know you have reps at the different horse shows. Is that the best way?
Yes, either at horse shows, or they can go to our website, fill out the contact form, and we have saddle specialists all over the country, and they can go to the stables to fit the people and their horse. And if they ride several horses, we can do what we do for many professional riders, something versatile to fit a wide variety of horses. But if they ride only one horse, we can fit the saddle to their horse too.
Very nice. And they have choices of leathers also, is that correct?
Yes, we have several types of leather, and we have a mix between like very durable leathers and very grippy and soft leathers. It depends on what people want. If an amateur may not want the same thing as a professional rider who tends to want something more durable, and someone who rides just once or twice a week wants to have something that there's no break-in period, very soft. And so we have something that fits every needs.
And they're very distinctive. You guys will recognize the booth when they're out at the horse shows. They've got a great brown, baby blue, and tan logo, which is very distinctive. But now I don't know if this is totally accurate, so we're bringing it up on the radio, but I did see Brian at Saugerties, and I saw some piping options. Are you guys doing different colors?
So now what we're doing is we have plenty of flag options where people can put the flag of their country initials, and also Swarovski crystals. And so we have plenty of personalization options that we just came up with.
What are you customizing?
You know what? If people, for instance, want their initial on the saddle, not just on the nameplate.
On the cantle, maybe? Yeah.
It's not on the cantle. It's like on the flap. But okay. It's in an area that is kind of discreet, but you can still see it. Design is very important for us. It's part of the identity of the brand. So we don't want something too flashy. We just want something that looks good. So It's there, but it's not too much.
And I got to tell you, I was just looking through your website, and you can tell you're from France because they know about style, and there are pictures here of very beautiful girls just being around the saddles.
You can tell, good for business, right?
Yes, you can tell the French side coming out here, too.
It's hilarious.
By the way, that is also horse husband approved. I'm just saying.
Yes, yes, yeah, we have many horse husband approvals here going on today.
Thank you.
And you've got an incredible list of sponsored riders, which is also so impressive because you guys are relatively new. I mean, 5 years coming on the scene here and getting BZ Madden, Shane Sweetnam. I mean, these are top riders that are not going to be quick or you know, not really thinking through ditching whatever their other sponsorship is to come on to a brand new, fairly unproven company. I know you guys had a great list even the first year or two you were out. It's a great company. It's super, super product, and it shows.
Thank you. The crazy thing that happened to us at the very beginning was BZ Madden. You know, the company was only 6 months old when we did Wellington the first year. And I approached BZ, and I didn't know her. I just say hi, and I asked her opinion on our saddle. And I never thought she would. We would end up working with her, but... she tried the saddle. She said, "Oh, I like this one. Can I keep it a few days to try to give you my feedback?" And I said, "Sure." And it was a Tuesday, and on Thursday she was riding the Grand Prix, the WEF, and she rode in it with the saddle, and she won. And
oh my gosh!
On Sunday there was a Derby, and she won it again. So I.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that. Then she said, "Oh, okay, I think I'm going to keep that saddle." And that's
so
how it started.
True.
Well, you know, Bryce,
was
that's
just
an,
6 months old.
That's an important business lesson too, isn't it? Don't start at the bottom, start at the top.
But I know, right? If only it worked that way. But yeah. Seriously, you have to have a good product. I mean, and the proof is when you ride it. I see it on a smaller scale, but like I was saying, I do the sales and even the pony kids. I was doing quite a few ponies this winter, and okay, my saddle's way too big for the little kids that are getting on the ponies. But everybody, even them, wow, what is it? Wow, this is great. They feel it. And that's the thing is when you're marketing to a sport like this, to professionals and riding, it can't just be good marketing, pretty pictures and all of this. It has to be a good product. And it really is.
Yeah, for the pony, I think many saddle makers make small adult saddles. But the way we did it, we made a saddle for kids and for ponies. It's not a small adult saddle. We really took into account the specificities of the ponies and how the body is very different for a kid. And I think we came up with something that's working really well.
Yeah, no, I think so. It's out there just constantly on the pony kids. I've really noticed that they're distinctive saddles. You can tell they're not flashy. Many of the models are just great for the hunter ring, but you do have some distinctive stitching on the flap. For example, when the rider's not mounted, you can see the ponies, you know, shuffling back and forth to the ring. And I just saw tons of them.
Yeah, distinctive is a word I like. You know, it's not too flashy, but we try to be still a bit different. You know, it's like when you have an Apple versus a PC, a Mac, you see when the Mac looks better, and we try to make our saddles look nicer. And
totally.
I think our clients like that.
They do. And job well done. So you guys check it out. Voltaire is our headline sponsor this episode. They are online, voltaire-design.com. And happy anniversary, Bryce. We're so glad you could come on.
Thank you so much for having me. And also happy anniversary to you, because I heard you're 8 years old on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Radio.
On the 8th, we turned 8 years old. Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for that. Appreciate
anniversaries
that.
All around.
Thanks,
awesome.
Bryce.
Well, thank you so much, Bryce. We'll check in with you later.
Bye, Emily and Glenn.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. It's always good to talk internationally, too. That's a fun time. Well, what a show you put together. We talk a lot about products, but they were so different. I mean,
I know, right?
I'm still stuck on the grass growing one. I got to be
Can
honest.
Can you believe it? I know. I definitely want to do it. I just... it's such a problem. And then you're at the mercy of these like outrageous prices. God forbid there be a drought and everyone's going to go broke.
Although I think my pony would eat a flat of those in about 5 seconds. He would be devouring it.
I was looking at the size of
very
like,
pretty.
It's like, yeah. I guess, you kind of, well, Maggie's really the person to talk to because she has so much tangible experience, different age horses and sized horses. But yeah, it's...
You'd have to find out how much exactly you would need for a horse in a day and, you know, the volume and all of that. Because, you know, the biggest units of these are pretty big. They're like, you know, tractor trailer container size.
I know. So, it's interesting, isn't it? I'll have to look into it more and see the different sizes. But I think, if you're at home, if you have a breeding operation or you're at home operation, you get one of the bigger ones and it's a great investment. I'm going to look into that one on the road though, because it's real. As with the performance horses, they need to have the right nutrition. Like it matters for them to get everything they need. And sometimes the feed store runs out or that's not available this week, or there was a drought in Central America and now you get no hay.
Right.
Unless you could pay $1,000 a bale.
Thank you, Emily. It's been fun today. We appreciate you being here. Of course, Emily can be found all her past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can just head over there and you'll find all of her past episodes. And you can listen to the recorded version of Horses in the Morning on our app, iOS or Android. Just download it there. Tens of thousands of people are listening on the app now. So we appreciate that. It's a lot of fun and it's so simple and easy to use and it's free. So that's the right price.
No excuses.
And you've done shows for almost 2 years now, and a lot of those interviews are still relevant. Well, one thing that I think people forget is they can go to horsesinthemorning.com or horseradionetwork.com and use our search bar. If you just put in Emily Thompson in the search bar in quotes, just like you were searching on Google, it'll bring up all of Emily's past shows or every appearance she's ever made on the Horse Radio Network will be there.
Archived for life.
Yes. And if you ever have a guest that you're not sure if that rider had ever been on or whoever, you know, it is, then you can just go put it in the search and you'll find an episode that they've been on. We've interviewed over 6,000 people. Chances are good that we've had them on at some point. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. Just take a look and use the search, use the website. People don't tend to do that anymore. They go to Facebook, but you can't find anything in history on Facebook. If it's more than a minute old, you're not going to find it again. Right? So
it's so true. Yeah. That's awesome that you archive it.
Yeah. And it's all tagged and everything, you know, is in there and it works really well. So head over to horseradionetwork.com. It's the best place to go for all of our shows. And the search works really well. Emily, where can they find you?
I am at sequestrianco.com or on Facebook, Emily Thompson or Sequestrian or Sequestrian for IHSA. You can find me pretty much anywhere.
Very good. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again next month. Emily, have fun in New York.
Good show. Talk to you soon.
All
Bye.
Right. Go out and now get in your Voltaire saddle because it's time to go ride.
I know it. Can't wait. Later.